Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm Patrick Castillo, and it's my pleasure to introduce you to this summer's Carte Blanche Concerts, Music at Menlo's signature series of artist-curated recitals. This season, as a complement to the festival's historical survey of the chamber music repertoire centered on seven incredible decades, Music at Menlo offers four Carte Blanche Concerts. On Sunday, July 14, Suvin Kim and Gloria Chen present a recital program of music for violin and piano composed between 1910 and 1930, featuring an international array of composers ranging from Maurice Ravel to Charles Ives. On Saturday, July 20, pianist Juho Pohonien offers an intriguing program juxtaposing the French Baroque composer Jean-Philippe Rameau and the late Romantic Russian visionary Alexander Scriabin. For the summer's third Carte Blanche concert, on Sunday, July 28, the Schumann Quartet makes its Music at Menlo debut with a program featuring over two centuries worth of music, from J.S. Bach to Philip Glass. The series concludes on Thursday, August 1, as flautist Tara Helen O'Connor and pianist and composer Stephen Pretzman present a colorful program culminating in the West Coast premiere of Pretzman's Voyage to the Moon for flute, piano, and silent film. The Schumann Quartet makes its Music at Menlo debut with a survey of the string quartet literature, bringing together music from a diverse spectrum of musical voices. The program spans German Romanticism, early modernism, and American minimalism. This mosaic of musical styles is held together by the timeless music of Johann Sebastian Bach. At the beginning of the program, and as a sort of interlude bridging each subsequent work, we'll hear one of Mozart's string quartet arrangements of the fugues from Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier. In the early 1780s, Mozart was a frequent visitor to the salons hosted by the Baron Gottfried von Swieten, an imperial officer at the Viennese court and a great music lover and amateur composer. Mozart wrote in a letter to his father at this time, "The Baron von Swieten, to whom I go every Sunday, gave me all the works of Handel and Sebastian Bach to take home with me after I had played them to him. When Constanze heard the fugues, she absolutely fell in love with them. Now she will listen to nothing but fugues, and particularly the works of Handel and Bach. Well, as she has often heard me play fugues out of my head, she asked me if I had ever written any down, and when I said I had not, she scolded me roundly for not recording some of my compositions in this most artistic and beautiful of musical forms, and never ceased to entreat me until I wrote down a fugue for her." Mozart arranged five fugues from Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier. His interest in the fugal form, and particularly in Bach's fugues, became an essential part of his own craft. Biographer Julian Rushton writes, quote, "Perhaps no composer since the young Purcell had so fructified his own style by earnest wrestling with the practices of a bygone era," end quote. The program follows with another work modeled after Bach, Felix Mendelssohn's Capriccio, Opus 81, No. 3, composed in 1843. Mendelssohn's Opus 81 comprises four short works for string quartet, composed at different times of his life, but assembled and published posthumously. They were assigned the opus number 81 to follow Mendelssohn's last string quartet, the F minor, Opus 80. The third work of the Opus 81 set, the Capriccio in E minor, betrays the deep influence of Bach on Mendelssohn's compositional style throughout his life. From an historical perspective, the connection between Bach and Mendelssohn is moreover significant. In the decades following his death in 1750, Bach's music fell, if not quite into obscurity, into some measure of neglect. But Mendelssohn took an interest in the Baroque master, and in 1829 led a performance of Bach's St. Matthew Passion at the Berlin Singakademie. The performance was a sensation, revitalizing interest in Bach's music throughout Western Europe, and consequently crediting Mendelssohn with launching the modern Bach revival. The Capriccio follows the model of Bach's Preludes and Fugues. It comprises two distinct sections. First, a doleful andante con moto. This music, comprising just 28 bars, serves as a short prelude to the main body of the Capriccio. It arrives at a brief cadenza-like passage in the first violin, with which phrase hanging in the air like an open question, the impassioned Allegro Fugato begins. Alongside Steve Reich and Terry Riley, the composer Philip Glass was one of the key figures in the emergence of American minimalism in the 1960s. In the decades since, he has assembled one of the most broadly revered careers among his generation of composers. He has also been one of the most prolific composers of our time, active in solo, chamber, choral, orchestral, operatic, and other media, and has collaborated with artists across disciplines, including Twyla Tharp, Allen Ginsberg, Woody Allen, Paul Simon, David Bowie, and Yo-Yo Ma. Glass's 25 operas include Einstein on the Beach and Satyagraha, which have achieved iconic status among the 20th century canon. He has also produced the scores to numerous films, including Koyaanisqatsi, The Thin Blue Line, Kundun, The Truman Show, and The Hours. Glass composed his String Quartet No. 2 in 1983 for a theatrical dramatization of Samuel Beckett's novella, Company. Glass's intention with the quartet was to create theater music that could stand on its own as concert music. Beckett himself was pleased with what Glass had created, feeling that the work likewise left room for the dramatic action. "Very good," Beckett said to Glass. "It will appear at the interstices, as it were." Thank you. Following an interstitial Bach fugue, the program features Shostakovich's two pieces for string quartet. These miniatures are rarely heard, existing as they do in the shadow of Shostakovich's monumental cycle of 15 string quartets. Nevertheless, they represent vital contributions to the canon from one of the genre's undisputed masters. Shostakovich composed the two pieces in a single night in 1931. The first of the two pieces is an elegy, transcribed from Katharina's aria from Shostakovich's opera Lady Macbeth of the Mtsensk district. A transcription of a polka from Shostakovich's ballet, The Golden Age, follows. Anton Webern composed his six Bagatelles Opus 9 between 1911 and 1913. Alongside other music from this time, referred to as Webern's aphoristic period, the Bagatelles represent Webern's total abandonment of tonality. The music of these years is marked by its extreme brevity. It is obsessed with softness and silence, with entire pieces ranging in dynamic from pianissimo to no louder than piano. Arnold Schoenberg, Webern's teacher, noted of Webern's works during this period, quote, "One has to realize what restraint it requires to express oneself with such brevity. You can stretch every glance into a poem, every sigh into a novel, but to express a novel in a single gesture, a joy in a breath, such concentration can only be present in the absence of self-pity." End quote. The program concludes with Leos Janáček's String Quartet No. 2, subtitled Intimate Letters. Janáček composed Intimate Letters in the span of a few weeks between January and February of 1928. He completed the work just 6 months before his death. The quartet was inspired by the composer's strange infatuation with one Kamila Stoslova, whom he met in 1917. Janáček was 62, Stoslova was 27, and both were married at the time. While no affair was ever consummated, the two cultivated one of music history's most curious relationships. Though not obviously remarkable in any way, and not even particularly fond of music, Stoslova nevertheless became the object of Janáček's obsessive affection, as attested to by more than 700 impassioned letters he sent her over the following decade. To these feverishly amorous outpourings, Stoslova might occasionally respond with no more than a mundane account of her recent activities. Though aloof to Janáček's affections, Stoslova nevertheless maintained some degree of closeness to him, and was with the composer when he died. More significantly, she became his muse, inspiring not just the letters, but much of the music of Janáček's later years. The central characters of the operas Katia Kabanova, The Cunning Little Vixen, and The Macropolis Affair are modeled on her. Likewise, The Diary of One Who Disappeared, The Glagolitic Mass, The Sinfonietta, and, most wholly and triumphantly, Intimate Letters, were born of Janáček's obsession with Stoslova. The quartet programmatically reflects Janáček's imagined romance with Stoslova, as charted in his correspondence with her. The quartet's first movement immediately sets a neurotic tone for the entire work, with its volatile fluctuations between different tempi and expressive characters. The opening measures alternate between heated exclamations above insistent trills and mysterious utterances played sul ponticello. A moment later, the violins play soaring melodies above impatient ostinati in the viola and cello. The pace quickens and the excitement continues to build. The momentum is briefly interrupted by a declamatory viola solo. The previously excited music returns, now tinged with a hint of dolor. Again, the pace quickens, this time building towards a return of the impassioned motif of the opening measures. The music continues in this frenetic fashion to the end, constantly shifting moods. The movement finishes with another return to the opening motif, this time in the lower strings, with shimmering tremolandi in the violins. The Adagio's second movement depicts Janáček's first meeting with Stoslova. Its mood is predominantly tender, yet still tinged with strangeness. The music seems to straddle a fine line between ecstasy and anxiety, felt in equally extreme measures. Janáček wrote to Stoslova that the third movement expressed his longing that she should bear his child. Apropos of this idea, the movement begins with a gently rocking rhythmic figure. The music continues to be marked by unpredictable fluctuations in both tempo and character, but the rocking rhythmic figure of the opening measures permeates much of what follows. Through all of its mood swings, this movement remains essentially warm and sentimental. The quartet's rondo form finale expresses itself, in Janáček's words, quote, with a great longing and as if it were fulfilled, end quote. Near the movement's start, the viola introduces and obsessively repeats a four-note death motif, audibly derived from the ancient Dies Irae plain chant melody. Dies Irae. The rondo's tender first episode marks a striking contrast in character from the dance-like subject, but here and throughout the finale, the death motif remains in the fore. The movement's subsequent episodes take the music through moments of euphoric bliss and grave despair. The work ends with a thrilling ambiguity, neither decisively in triumph nor in defeat, but nevertheless with a searing expressivity that permeates the entire work. Audio notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering was provided by Dahong Situ. Production support was provided by Nathan Pear. Musical excerpts appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Philip Glass's String Quartet No. 2, performed by Brooklyn Ryder, appears courtesy of Orange Mountain Music. Dmitri Shostakovich's two pieces for string quartet and Leos Janacek's Intimate Letters are performed by the Emerson String Quartet and appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Johann Sebastian Bach's Fugue in E-flat Major and Felix Mendelssohn's Capriccio in E Minor, performed by the Danish String Quartet, and Anton Webern's Six Bagatelles, performed by the St. Lawrence String Quartet, are available on Music at Menlo Live. Audio notes are a copyrighted production of Music at Menlo.